islands of Kenya. We had a wonderful, life-changing experience for just about everyone, and bring you greetings from our sisters and brothers in Christ in East Africa, in the Presbyterian Church of East Africa, and particularly in our sister church affiliated with this congregation called Kangeta in Nyeri. So we bring you greetings, and Bob McCutcheon and some of the students and I will do a brief slideshow and some other things later on, but wanted to bring you greetings from our sisters and brothers in Kenya this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Welcome back. Glad the trip went well. If you haven't picked them up already, out on the table in the White Chapel are end-of-year giving statements. So go ahead and pick yours up if you haven't done so already. Otherwise, we will mail them out. Are there other announcements that need to be verbalized today? Yes, Mina. Yes, we should be on the air today. We welcome those who are listening today. The encoder is on, and as far as we know, it's going out, so we hope that it is. Thank you, Mina. Other announcements? Yes.
I would like to announce that during coffee hour, I'll be selling Girl Scout cookies.
Holly will be selling Girl Scout cookies during coffee hour today. It's that time of year again. Yay. All right. Look for Holly. Thank you, Holly.
Peter, I have a brief message to follow that. For all of us who are trying to lose weight, Holly, it is difficult for you to sell cookies because we just have to say yes. However, tonight, I bet Holly and Elliot will be there, 6 o'clock, Kids Club, Club 456, and Youth Group. So we look forward to having grilled cheese and tomato soup with all of our children and youth friends this evening at 6.
My favorite. Seeing no other hands up in the air wanting to speak, let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Morning. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us worship the Lord our God. Please join me in prayer. All-knowing God, we gather together with praise and thanksgiving for who you are and for all that you have done for us. You know us better than we know ourselves. All our thoughts and actions, and yet you love us. No matter where we go or what we do, your love encircles us, ahead and behind, gently leading and guiding and blessing. We praise you for your love and your faithful presence in our lives. May your Spirit move in our hearts and minds as we worship together. Examine our attitudes and actions. Lay bare the things we need to confess. Challenge us with your word, and guide us on to paths that lead to life. For we are your people, called by your name. Amen. Our first hymn is number 620, Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
If we say that we don't have sin, if we say that we've got it all together and life is perfect, even the preacher looks at you and says you're only deceiving yourself. The Bible says that too. But the Bible also says this, that if we confess our sins and our brokenness and our utter dependence upon God for the very breath that we take, God will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in a spirit of humility, let us pray together the prayer of confession found printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The good news of Jesus' message is this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Right here. Right now. So repent of your ways. Return to the Lord. Friends, when we confess our sins, we can trust God, who loves us more than we can imagine, calls us forward into an eternal and abundant life. Sisters and brothers, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you are loved. Amen. Through Christ, we've been given peace with God, and we've been given great hope in our life. And worship is the time where we begin to practice sharing that with our neighbors outside of these walls. So greet your neighbor, turn to them, look them in the eye, and say, "May the peace of the Lord be with you." And we respond by saying, "And also with you." This is the time in our worship service where we invite our younger participants to come forward to listen to the Bible being read, and then we'll have a special message. So let us give our listening ears to Mr. Phil as he reads to us from the Bible.
Well, both our scripture readings today come from the New Testament. The first is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The second scripture reading is from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. 'Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We have a wonderful group of friends with us today, and I would love for us to share our name into the microphone to let everyone know who's with us today. We'll start with this guy over here.
Toby.
Astrid.
Samantha.
Warren.
Ollie.
Elliot.
Everett, Baber, Garver, Daniels.
Tate.
Levi.
Willa.
And does Ms. Addie want to say something to the microphone? She was running down the aisle. Addie, just remember that we're at the Presbyterian Church and not at the Pentecostal Church. But I love it. These frozen chosen folks need a little energy running down the aisle. Mr. Phil read to us a story from the Bible. And it was a story about ordinary people like me and you. And they were fishermen. Their names were Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, and the Bible even tells us the father of James and John. His name was Zebedee. They were out fishing, doing something that they worked for. What's something that you do on a day-to-day basis? They were all fishermen. What do you do?
Make breakfast for my parents at 7:30.
Make breakfast for your parents at 7:30. I knew that. I've always been jealous of Nate and Tessa. Do you want to come to our house and make breakfast? Okay, thank you. That's perfect. What else do you do on a day-to-day basis? Something that's just pretty normal. Do you all go to school? Yep, and go to school on a daily basis. Well, Andrew, Simon, Peter, James, and John, they were just doing their daily business. So imagine that you're making breakfast for mom and dad or going to school. And guess who shows up in this biblical story? It's Jesus. And Jesus comes and looks at them and says, "Follow me." And did anyone hear what those ordinary people did? What's that?
Dropped their nets and went away.
They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. Now, in some ways, this is a difficult story because the Bible just says they dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus. The Bible doesn't record how they thought about it or how they felt. But I think the Bible is telling us that the important thing to do is when Jesus comes, we follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we know that there will be much love and grace. It won't always be easy, but it will be the best thing for us to do. Let us pray. God, thank you for the gift of these children, how they inspire us. Thank you for Addie's energy. Maybe you may want to fill us Presbyterians with energy to run up and down the aisle as we are excited about you. Lord, we pray that we teach these children the way of your kingdom, full of love, mercy, justice, hope, and a whole lot of love. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. If you are younger than first grade, you can head upstairs with the nursery crew, and the rest of you can head back to your seats. Thanks so much for coming up.
Hi.
For those of you who know my slight Pittsburgh heritage, it is an important day in the life of this nation. We pray for the Steelers that they may run over those terrible New England Patriots. Some of you may have seen the YouTube video about the Pittsburgh dad. It's this very facetious, stereotypical character of a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And last week, before the Chiefs, Pittsburgh dad goes to church. And he says, "Lord, you saw me. I even put a $5 bill in the offering plate. Most people only give $1 bills, but I put in $5. That ought to be good for a James Harrison sack today." So, if you're rooting for the Steelers, maybe an extra offering today wouldn't be terrible. Perhaps more importantly, an historic weekend in the United States. Regardless of how you label yourself politically, some of us are celebrating the inauguration of our 45th president. Some of us are celebrating the abundance of folks marching in protest, or protest is probably the wrong word, marching in favor of a cause of love and justice and peace. An historic weekend for our nation. I'd rather preach about the Steelers today. But many of you received a letter from me this week sharing with you, Chrissy, and our intention to move to Idaho in March. If this is news to you, I'm sorry we don't have your address in our database. If you didn't get a letter from me, let us know so we can get you in the mailing. But in that letter, I shared that in 2 weeks, Chrissy and I will be traveling to Boise to be examined by the Boise Presbytery and to preach and to be voted upon to be installed as the pastor of the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Boise. Our lectionary texts that Phil read for us in many ways are providential. The gospel reading is a reading of four guys doing their business. James and John were with their family. I've always been struck by this story because Matthew just records it, says Jesus came up, said, "Follow me," and then they just dropped everything and followed. In my life, I feel like I can count on one hand the number of times where I felt Jesus tap me on the shoulder and say, "Follow me." And in every one of those instances, I didn't just leave my nets or my books and follow. I didn't. Because for me, it's never been that easy to follow Jesus. When we follow Jesus, you know, Jesus was asking Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John to leave their business, to leave the comfort of the ordinary routine and embark upon a journey of which they had very little understanding of where it would go. Matthew said they dropped their nets and followed him. Friends, I felt Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and say, "Follow me to Boise." But I didn't just drop my books and go. We're driving from family over the Christmas holidays, where I shared with my mother the possibility that we might be moving two time zones away. And she says, "I don't care about you, but you cannot take my grandkids away from me." And we laughed and we cried and talked about the possibilities. Boise is far. Life is good for us here. James and John were with their father. Chrissy and Kevin are with people who have become our family. We love you so much.
And I don't want to make my mother and Chrissy's mother angry about taking the kids so far away. That's a pretty daunting task. In the car, over Christmas, driving back from the family, I said, "Chrissy, in many ways I feel like Jonah." Jonah was the Hebrew called by God to share the message of God's love with those Ninevites. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. They were the enemies of the Israelites. But God called him to share God's message of love. And we know the story of Jonah, right? He tried to leave and run away from the call, and he ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days. And after repenting and being vomited back up on the beach, Jonah begrudgingly goes to Nineveh, where they hear the good news, and they repent. I don't want to end up in the belly of a whale. Life has been really good for us here. We've laughed with you, we've loved you, we've cried with you. Lord, can't you send someone else to Boise? It was in this process of discernment that I was reading my Bible over the Christmas break, and I happened upon this passage that I wanted to share with you that sealed my understanding of our call to Boise. Before I share that, a little bit about this church. You all love us so well, and you stroke my ego often. And some of you have said, "Kevin, we thought you would be going to a really large church somewhere on that day that you have left us. Tell us more about this church." The Covenant Church in Boise, Idaho, is slightly larger than Davis Memorial, of a membership of about 250. In 2014, the Covenant Church was a church of almost 500 members. Disgruntled over some polity issues within our denomination, the pastor and 200 members of the Covenant Church left to go form their own church. I don't understand all the nuances of it. But I can only imagine the hurt of God's people, whether you're on the left or right, conservative or liberal, when the body of Christ breaks, the pain that will cause. So in my conversations with the Covenant Church, they say, "Kevin, we're looking for a leader who will love us, to be a good administrator. We don't want this split to define our identity forever. We want to share the love of God in West Boise, Idaho." So I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, aren't there other people who can love these folks?" But as they describe the pastor that they were looking for, I'm thinking to myself, "God, they're describing me. I don't want it to be me. I'd really like to stay in Elkins where life is comfortable and easy." So I'm sitting in a coffee shop in Parkersburg, West Virginia, knowing that this is a possibility. No decisions have been made. And I'm reading my Bible, working on work for my doctoral studies. And I go to John chapter 21. And you may have heard this story. It's after the resurrection, and Jesus is with the disciples. And Jesus says this to Peter. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you." But if you're reading this in the Greek, you know that the word for love is slightly different. When Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" he's using the term, or using the word agapao, which is this deep, godly love, symbolic of a love that we would use for God in relationship to creation or humanity. But Peter doesn't respond with agapao, the best word that we can use in English to translate phileo, which is what Peter uses as love. So in English, we read, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. But Peter uses phileo, which is this motherly, family type of love, which is not necessarily cheaper, but reflective of a different kind of love that we would have for family. Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you, I love you. Jesus asks Peter a second time, Peter, do you love me? Do you agapao me? Yes, Lord, I love you, I phileo you. And John writes again that Jesus asks a third time, and Jesus uses phileo. Peter, do you phileo me? And John says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked the third time, do you phileo me? I wonder if Peter was realizing in his day-to-day operations that God is calling us to this deeper, godly love, which may be bigger or transcends this phileo love that we operate with on a day-to-day basis. Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And as I thought about my own experience, we're doing good work here in Elkins. We will continue to do good work here in Elkins. But for me and for the Starchers, I wonder if God is calling me to something more that requires trust, requires sacrifice. And indeed, I believe that the question that Jesus asks Peter, that Jesus is asking Starcher, is the same question that Jesus asks all of us. I believe that God wants us to live into a relationship with God that is far deeper than just going to church on Sunday and citing the Apostles' Creed and making sure that you put in $5 in the offering plate and say, yes, Lord, I love you, I love you. Jesus asks of us, all of us, do you agapao me? Now the conclusion of this story in John chapter 21 is this. Jesus is observing this congregation, conversation. And he says to Peter, when you were younger, you did what you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go. You did what you wanted to do. But when you were older, you will stretch out your hands and you will be taken to a place that you do not want to go to. And I read that and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I realized that even though I may be taking my children two time zones away from their grandparents, that I would have to say goodbye to people that I love as family. That God wasn't just saying be comfortable in everything that you do. God is saying to trust and to follow. So I trust and I follow. To be honest with y'all, when I came here in December 2010, I didn't want to come here. I wanted to stay in Colorado, where life was good and comfortable, and there were Rocky Mountains in the background, and there was the best skiing in all of North America, right in our backyard. But I listened, and I followed. And do you know what happened? We've been blessed beyond our imagination. So even though I might feel like Jonah and not want to leave my friends and family, there is within me and with us a deep trust that as God takes us to a new place with new people, that God will be faithful as God has always been faithful. And this question, this sermon, friends, while it is about the Starchers, at a shallow level, at a deeper level, it is about all of us, and as a congregation, as individuals, do we agapao God, or do we just phileo God? yeah, God, we love you. But is God calling you to something deeper? Taking you to a place, maybe not Idaho, but where is God calling you that you and your selfish desires would rather not want to go? But even as a congregation, some of you may be celebrating the fact that Starcher's leaving and March is not soon enough. But I've been surrounded by words of love saying we'll miss you. But friends, hear this good news. If you are saddened by our departure, I'm going to take that as a sign of love for the Starchers, and I thank you for that. But your minister reminds you that this church business is never about the pastor. This church business is about you and your relationship with the Almighty God. And it always has been. In our epistle lesson, Paul is writing to the church in Corinthians who are quibbling amongst themselves about who they belong to. And it's interesting that they cite Cephas, who is Peter. We have another minister here named Peter who is going to faithfully lead this congregation in wonderful new ways. But they are quibbling. Oh, we belong to Apollos. We belong to Paul. We belong to Christ. Paul reminds them that it was never about who brought them to Christ, but it was about our Lord Jesus Christ that motivated them to be the church of Jesus Christ and to go out and to do the good work, to share the message of the cross. So if you are here just because you like the Starchers, I'm glad I'm leaving. Because God has something much better in store for you. This reality that God loves you so much that He gave His life on the cross and was raised again so that you may know eternal and abundant life. Friends, do you phileo God? Or do you agapao God? Paul writes that this business of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. I guess I can preach as long as I want to. I can preach till 12:30. What are you going to do? Fire me? A few notes as we go forward. Chrissy and I anticipate being here until March 12th. The optimist in me would like to see our moving truck leave that afternoon. We'll see. Packing is a pain. But that's our plan, March 12th. So you're stuck with me. I already shed some tears today at the Lutheran Church. Shed some tears today. I'll do the same this evening at the college. I don't like to cry, so I'm trying not to. And save all of your goodbyes for March 12th when I drive down Route 33 going to Weston, where I'm sure I won't be able to drive because of the tears coming down my face. Save that all for March 12th for my own emotional sake. You're on good footing here. It's interesting to see all the ministries that have popped up, and I can claim no responsibility for them. We have an awesome Bible study that meets at 9:30 at Henry G's Cafe under the leadership of Brad Martin. I showed up like four times at the beginning and realized that they didn't need me. And that's one of the best ministries that we do here. Twice a month, there are Presbyterians that meet at the home of Gene Snedeker's. I encourage you to go just for the view. More importantly, for the prayer and the fellowship. Another one of the best ministries that happens at Davis Memorial. And you know how many times I went to that? Confessing sin here. None. Because we have good leaders in place. Children's and youth ministry. Do you know what I'm responsible for what happens tonight? Nothing. It's because God has blessed us with good leaders to step up and take care, take over the reins. We have awesome food ministry that happens here at Davis Memorial. Tractor and trailers come, unload food to the community. We have common ground. We do the community kitchen. Again, Starcher does nothing. all the good stuff. This amazing music ministry, thanks be to God, I'm not involved in that, right? I would ruin that. I'm going to miss that. Y'all, under the direction of Mel, rock. This new church does like a combination of contemporary and traditional music. I'm going to miss y'all. It's never been about me, my friends. It's been about the power of God at work in the life of this congregation. I now hope that you miss me a little bit selfishly. But you know what I look forward to for this church? Because I'll keep up with you, I will. I look forward to seeing what God does in the next chapter of this church. Peter is an incredible, stable leader who will guide us through this transition. I'll come back to what I look forward to as soon as I address this. Some of you may be wondering, what's next? Are we going to partner with the college again? Are we going to continue our relationship with the Lutheran Church? What are we going to do? The answer today is, I don't know. But under Peter's guidance and wisdom, has already called at our session meeting the formation of an ad hoc committee that is not reactionary about, oh my gosh, Kevin's leaving, thanks be to God, now we can save $30,000 in our budget, but is going to look at the totality of the ministry of our church and with prayer discern what's next. The college, President Wood has already indicated that the college will be searching for a chaplain. Will that be in partnership with the church? I don't know. I told them to hire a full-time chaplain up there. But we'll see. There's a lot that I don't know. But I have great trust in what God is going to do with you and in the life of this church. I can only pray that there are some seeds planted that will bear incredible fruit over the next 5, 10, 20 years in the life of Davis Memorial. You have so much going for you. In some ways, I believe that the Star Church have a lot going for them, all inspired by the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, there really is no goodbyes today, because you're going to see me for the next 7 weeks. But in the life of faith, there are never really any goodbyes at all, right? We're one big family of faith. Presbyterians, Lutherans, atheists, Muslims, God loves us all. And when you baptize my children, normally I could do a better job of composing myself when the tears come. God's claim on my children came through this body, and you will forever be with me, and in my heart, and in the life of my children. So just know that we love you. And I'll cry a lot more on March 12th. But until then, I'm not going to cry, because God has work for us to do, right? So we're going to get at it. And we're going to love our neighbors, and we're going to love our families, and we're not going to quibble amongst ourselves. But we're going to trust in this awesome hope that we have together in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's enough preaching for today. I'll go over the next few weeks, because now I can say whatever and not be dependent upon a paycheck in the future. So, with that, let us sing together hymn number 721, Lord, you have come to the lakeshore. Thank you.
It's a number of ways that John Calvin envisioned us responding to the Word of God as it was preached. And one of those ways is through prayer. And we come to that time of prayers today, prayers of the people, our Lord's Prayer, and then the presentation of offerings. We begin our prayers by remembering those that we place on our prayer list. On the back of our bulletin, you have folks who are homebound, folks who are experiencing particular need, and then prayers for partners around the world and around this country. Ed Kyle has asked that we pray for him as he has a recurring diagnosis and is on chemo. And let us add Ed to our prayer list today for sure. Join me in prayer today. Loving God, your light reveals the needs of our world, and your salvation offers hope to the lost. Therefore, we pray for our world and our community, for your holy church, that all the baptized may live in harmony with one another, and our pastors and teachers, though it's not all about them, though they really don't do anything, we know that you are inspiring to those who call you Lord. May they grow and continue to be gracious ministers of the gospel. We do lift up the ministry of Kevin and Chrissy and Levi and Laurel during this time of transition. It is a time of celebration. It is a time of moving to other seas. Be with us all during this particularly gifted time. For the world and all who suffer the rod of oppression, we offer our prayers. Break the yokes of violence that we see every day on our television sets, and free all people from the burden of war and domestic strife. For leaders of the nations, particularly our nation, our new leader, we offer our prayers that he and they may be just and faithful in their duty and serve the good of all creation. For those who suffer disease of the body and mind, that they may know the power of your healing grace. We remember those who have died. We pray for their families who listen for familiar voices. We pray for those who will die this day, that they may find eternal rest. And for those who care for the dying, that they may find peace and comfort. We pray for other concerns that we offer in silence. Hear, O Lord, the cries of your people. Be gracious to us and answer us. And as we drop our nets, may all that we do be to your glory through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And especially as we join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God, the source of all good things, has given us what we need. In joyful response, let us offer our gifts, the fruit of our labors, and the dedication of our hearts for loving service in the name of Christ. Let us receive our morning offering. God of our salvation, receive these gifts we offer and bless them for the work of your kingdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 321, The Church's One Foundation.
You are invited after our service to a time of fellowship. The Kyle family has prepared a terrific spread downstairs, of which you are welcome to come and enjoy the company of one another. Also, tonight at 8 o'clock, you are invited to come to Robin's Memorial Chapel. Again, another ministry that Kevin feels very good handing off. Kinsey and Julia up here in the third row. We had the best Bible study ever last week at 8 o'clock. And start your head, nothing to do with it. God has prepared all of us for terrific ministry. So go today and for the next 7 weeks and for the rest of your life to do this business of God's work, hugging your neighbor, working for justice in the land, sharing the good news that our God is with us. And we do that every day, now and forevermore. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and keep you forevermore. Amen.